At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to the latest episode of Five on the Floor on the Five Reasons Sports Network. Thanks for joining us on your favorite podcast app on Apple Podcasts, on Android, Spotify, or the Five Reasons YouTube channel. Also, check out Off the Floor. That's our Discord server, $2.99 per month. Get off of Twitter. Hang out with Heat fans and us all day, all night long. You can do that just by clicking the link here in the description and signing up. Again, it's $2.99 per month. Sign up for Off the Floor. Also, sign up for Prize Picks. Use our code 5, F-I-V-E. Seems like there's a football game every single day now, so you can play it pretty much every day. Play between two and four players, go across the different sports. If you want to pair it with a fight, a baseball game, anything else, you can do it at prizepicks.com. Use that code 5. They got a new promotion. You put down $5, they give you 50. That's right. It's a 10-to-1 match now. You just put down $5 and make your first place. Go to prizepicks.com. Use the code 5, F-I-V-E. Get your special promo today. And now, today's episode.
Down to Biscayne.
Yikes.
Five on the floor. Ride for my dogs. Where here's the thing. You can check the score. Hustle hard. Couple stars. Wearing bubble frogs. Just like Buckley said, you in trouble, y'all. Kept the floor playing. Got an all band. Y'all seen the block. Stop with one hand. And Pat, we trust. It's power, have the guts. We're here to bring the heat. Y'all can hang it up.
Welcome to Five on the Floor, a daily insider show on the Miami Heat and the NBA, featuring Ethan Skolnick, Greg Sylvander, and Alex Toledo, plus others from the Five Reasons Sports Network.
Welcome back to Five on the Floor, and welcome to the end of an eternal exercise. No offense to our guy, Eternal. We have hit the end. This is episode 10. Now, originally, we were supposed to just do, what was it, five of these episodes, and I said, let's do eight per time, and then we kind of realized that these episodes would be like really long if we did that. So why not just stretch it out? Why not just the elastic? But the elastic is basically finally going to break at this point, like some of my shorts. So we decided, okay, we're going to do four. We're going to get to 40, and so today we're at the final four. Now these are not the final four in terms of being the four best players, but it's the end of the exercise because we went from one all the way up to 40. So today's floor plan, Greg Sylvander, follow him at Greg Sylvander. I'm Ethan J. Skolnick. Follow me at Ethan J. Skolnick. And at Five Reasons Sports. And we're going to get to these last four players. But before we do, Greg, I'm going to try to go through. Let's go through the first 36. Okay. And again, people will understand, I think, what a challenging exercise that this was. And I don't know if we did it that well or not. We're going to have you grade us after this. Okay, number one, Dwayne Wade. Number two, LeBron James. Number three, Jimmy Butler. Number four, Alonzo Mourning. Number five, Chris Bosh. Number six, Shaquille O'Neal. Number seven, Tim Hardaway. Number eight, Bam Adebayo. Number nine, Goran Dragic. Number 10, Udonis Haslem. We understand some of you are upset about that. Number 11, Glenn Rice. Number 12, Eddie Jones. Number 13, Jamal Mashburn. Number 14, Mario Chalmers. Number 15, Shane Battier. Number 16, Tyler Hero. Number 17, P.J. Brown. Number 18, Brian Grant. 19, Ray Allen. 20, Lamar Odom. 21, Ronnie Cicely. 22, Duncan Robinson. 23, Dan Marley. 24, Anthony Mason. 25, Jason Williams. 26, Chris Birdman Anderson. 27, Caron Butler. 28, Mike Miller. 29, Grant Long. 30, Steve Smith. 31, Antoine Walker. 32, Gary Payton. And then the last episode, 33, James Posey, 34, Joel Anthony, 35, Caleb Martin, 36, Kevin Edwards. This makes it, wait a second, so it's my turn?
That's correct.
It's my, oh, okay.
And so then you'll also back clean up, and we know who that pick will be, although we won't give it away on this episode.
All right, so I'm going to do 37 and 40 because we've kind of given away 40 already. Should bring him on the show. Should have done that with a lot of these guys. All right, 37. So when we were going through the list, Greg, there are some one-year guys on here who contributed to playoff runs. There's a prized free agent who didn't work out quite so well but had his moments. There's the number two overall pick in the draft. There's a guy who was big in the in that sort of remarkable 30-11 run. There are a couple more undrafted free agents who started on a finals team. There's a guy who was a starting two guard on some of those early good teams with Pat. And there are a couple more pre-Riley guys. But I said in the last episode that if you are a contributing member of a 27-game winning streak and you win two championships, I got to get you on the list. And right now we have gone through that entire rotation. And I've talked about that rotation a lot because it was so consistent. And it was every game. It was the same thing, okay? It was your starters were Bosch, Haslam, LeBron, Wade, Chalmers. And then about 3 minutes left in the first quarter, either LeBron or Dwayne stayed on the court. And you brought out, maybe not all at once, but usually all at once, Cole, Allen, Battier, Anderson. Not Miller, not James Jones. Cole, Battier, Allen, Anderson. For 27 games that they won all of them. And it's not like it was an empty achievement because it contributed to the best season in franchise history, 66 wins, and to them putting themselves in position to ultimately get through the Eastern Conference and get to the finals where Ray Allen made a shot at home to keep the thing going in game six, and then they won the thing in game seven. So I'm going with Norris Cole. He's the one guy we have not said. Now, it helps that he's a friend of the program. We're big fans of Norris personally and everything else, and he's still playing at a high level overseas. But this isn't like an empty selection either, because if you look at what he did, so he was with Miami, drafted in 2011, yes, ahead of Jimmy Butler. Drafted in 2011, and his first season averaged 7 points, a couple of assists, averaged 19 minutes a game. Next season, he averaged 20 minutes a game. So you have a guy who's averaging 19 and 20 minutes in two championship years, and in the next year, he played all 82. That's the other thing. Norris was available. He played 65 as a rookie, 80 as a second year, 82 in his third season. He played 47 before he was traded in the middle of the season to New Orleans. Of course, that was the Dragic trade. That he was dealt in, and he gave you defense. He could make some outside shots, and he was kind of like, you know, Rio came out, Norris came in, and a lot of the same things happened with this team. And he also played really well with Dwayne, which is like sort of that's one of the markers for me, because Dwayne is the fulcrum of everything in the franchise. He's our number one, so I'm going to say Norris Cole at 37. I understand there are, again, a couple guys. This may squeeze off the list. Big statistics guys, one of whom you refuse to pick. But I just here's another of the tests here, okay? Maybe this should be the test in the last four. And you can choose whichever one you want. Guy shows up at the arena. They introduce him. He raises his hand. What kind of response does he get?
That's a good barometer.
Overwhelmingly positive, right?
For sure.
A couple of guys we're talking about might not be. I'm going with 37.
I like it. I think that – so there's a couple things to mention on this last episode. We've said it's hard multiple times. This one is the hardest because it is definitive in that we're going to leave people off the list. So, like, mm-hmm. We had time wiggle room in previous episodes. So when we say it's hard, this is the hardest because once we're done here, we're done. And some people may say, thankfully, I want to shout out Alphonse Sidney for joking with me and with a group of us saying that maybe we'll do the top 10 assistant coaches in Heat history next.
Oh, that's fantastic. Thank Al for me.
Okay, yeah, that's six episodes.
Bob McAdoo, Roddy Rothstein, Chris Quinn. Who are we going with here? Jeff Bizdelic, Eric Spoelstra.
Yeah, you're building a good list already.
We should bring Alf back for ideas like that.
I don't know if he would be willing to even come on for that episode. That would be actually probably pretty entertaining to see him try to dissect assistant coaches. But I think you're on to something with making sure that we check the boxes of all the people that contributed to the winning teams. And so we've got the big three era covered. We've got the 06 title team covered. Mm-hmm. And so then it gets a little difficult for me when I think about the other finals teams in Heat history, because Jimmy and Bam were the constants. And I guess maybe you could say Tyler, although not so constant in availability, but on the roster. But those two groups were so different otherwise that, like,
right,
there wasn't the longevity between the two finals teams with any one guy that really pops out off the list to me to say they got to be on. So it gets hard. And I know I'm getting the next two picks so that you can, you know, finalize the episode with the last pick, which I agree with that last pick. So I start to just narrow this down and see who are the other players that maybe had accolades that should be recognized, or I try to go as far back in the memory bank. That's why Kevin Edwards made it, because I don't want some of the very early guys to just get shunned because time kind of makes them go away from our memory, et cetera. So I'm really considering Sherman Douglas here. I think, like, that's mm-hmm. a really interesting pick. I'm also considering Vashawn Leonard in a big way. I think he deserves consideration because he was a starter on Miami's mm-hmm. first build that meant really anything. So I mm-hmm. think that there's some legs there. You know, we talked Jay Crowder, Andre Iguodala. I don't know that they were here long enough. So that's what's tugging at me there. So for this pick, I think we should make sure that we've covered all of the good players that contributed big to any winning from all the top teams. So you know what? Vashawn Leonard's making the list. I remember I heard a story where he worked out with Miami, and at that time, he hit the most consecutive three-point shots in a Miami Heat workout that had ever taken place. Now, I don't know if Duncan Robinson has smashed that record since or someone like that, but at the time, I remember it had turned heads in the organization when he came in, worked out, and shot so incredibly well. Was a starter on the 96-97 Eastern Conference Finals team, was a mainstay on all those groups, so he had some longevity. I thought Anthony Carter could also be a player that could mm-hmm. sneak into this, but not quite enough there. So I'm going with Vashawn Leonard. That's the first pick.
All right, well, hold your second.
Yeah.
Hold your second. We'll get a little bit of, because I think people know who 40 is. So I want to at least get a little suspense, because 39 then becomes the last pick. I'm with you on Vashawn in the sense that, like you say, if you talk about rotation players on that team, the only other one that we're not going to end up selecting is Ike Austin, who actually was thrown out there by Sean, but again, it was 1 year. Now, he was really good in that 1 year. They just couldn't keep him. They had other guys like Eric Murdoch, who had a really good, you know, good 1 year run with them, but they kept having to, it was a little different. Like, people, Pat always flipping the core. He really didn't flip the core during that. He got the core, that he kept the core together. And then it was always like one or two bench pieces that were different. He brought in Otis Thorpe 1 year, who was past his prime. He brought in, Austin was a guy that they developed, but then they couldn't keep him because his contract was going to go up. So they ended up dealing him for Brent Barry, who didn't want to be here. That was one of the worst trades in early Heat history, just not because Brent was a bad player. He wasn't, but he and Pat did not click. And then Murdoch, but Vashawn was considered. Now, he wasn't a full-time starter for them. It was interesting because it was kind of like him or Marley at a certain point, but he shot over 40% from three for them. Like, in the modern era, Vashawn would have, I mean, if you had Eric Spoelstra coaching Vashawn Leonard would have been putting up the Wayne Ellington numbers. And I guess the difference between Wayne and Vashawn, because I think you could have Wayne as one of the top five shooters in Heat history, and I don't think anybody would really blink. But again, it was for a slightly longer period of time, and that team did more winning. And he was the next guy. I mean, we can argue about, well, him or Marley. And we have Marley a little higher because of sort of the overall contributions, the fan favorite thing and all that. But I mean, we talked about it. You know, is Zoe or Tim, okay, PJ or Mash, and then Vashawn or Marley, really. And then, you know, they rotated out the other guys. So I'm fine with the pick. I think it's he was on my list. It's going to make 39 more difficult, which is why because I thought there were two guys you were deciding between and might pick both. But now I don't even know if you're going to pick either. So I'm kind of that's why I want a little bit of a delay here myself. But we are going to be, before we get to the delay, don't delay. If you have a leak in your house or place of business, reach out to our friends over at Water Cleanup of Florida. You can find them at WCUFL.com. That's WCUFL.com. Water Cleanup of Florida, your one-stop water and mold cleanup shop. Michael Robert and his team based in Boca Raton service the entire Tri-County area. Reach out to them now again if you have any kind of an issue. But if you already have the place flooded, I mean, you got to get to them then too, because they'll work with you. They'll clean it up. They'll tell you if they can't do a particular part of the job. That's one of the reasons we recommend them, because they're honest brokers, honest contractors. And then they'll work with you as you work with your insurance company to make sure that you get your financial situation in the place that you want it as well. We know South Florida, the flooding. I live in downtown Lauderdale, like literally like three drops of rain and you need a boat. So check it out. Water Cleanup of Florida, WCUFL.com. Again, that's WCUFL.com. If you've got the schmutz,
they got the guts.
Hey, it's Ethan Skolnick for Five on the Floor on the Five Reasons Sports Network. These days, all of us are operating in an information technology space, and that is dangerous. And that's why I signed up for Incogni. You can find it at incogni.com. That's incogni.com/5floor. That's FiveFloor, name of this podcast. And you get 60% off an annual plan. Now, why should you do this? Because data brokers are out there creating shadow profiles on you that include a frightening amount of personal details. These insights are then used by scammers, total strangers, insurance companies, banks, businesses, and even the government. You want to avoid the identity theft, the increased costs, and all of the things that come with this. So you got to sign up for Incogni. They will go through the entire process with you and begin that data removal. So again, you can be safer in this online space. So check it out, incogni.com. Again, that's incogni.com/5floor, spelled out 5floor, and you get 60% off an annual plan.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, Greg. 39.
Do I have the guts to put Hassan Whiteside here?
You said you wouldn't do it.
I know. And I'm gonna just go
to something out here, because I've got to go to career leaders, because we're gonna, you know what, we should do this before we're finished. Okay, I don't want to short shrift this. Let me give you some stats here on guys and where they rank and whether or not we've picked them. Okay, at this point. Games played for the franchise: Dwayne, Udonis, Zoe, Rio, Bam Adebayo, somebody else who's six, who I'm not going to mention the name right now. Rice at 7, Grant Long at 8, Bimbo Coles at 9, Ronnie Cicely at 10. Minutes played: Wade, Haslam, Mourning, Rice, Long, Adebayo, Chalmers, Cicely, Eddie Jones, Tim Hardaway. Field goals: Wade, Rice, Mourning, LeBron, Bam, Haslam, Bosh, Cicely, Dragic, Hardaway. More for Dragic than Hardaway, by the way. Field goal attempts: Wade, Rice, Mourning, Hardaway, Haslam, LeBron, Bam, Bosh, Cicely, Dragic. The more I do this, the more I realize, you know, I'm glad we got Cicely in at 21. 2-point field goals: Wade, Mourning, Rice, Adebayo, Haslam, LeBron, Ronnie, Cicely, Bosh, Grant Long. Number 10, Hassan Whiteside. 1894. 3-point field goals: Duncan, Hardaway, Hero, for those who are questioning the Hero pick, Eddie, Rice, Chalmers, Dragic, Josh Richardson, somebody else whose name we have not called, Dwayne Wade, and Vashawn Leonard. We don't need to do free throws. Okay, let me do total rebounds. Haslam, Mourning, Cicely, Wade, Bam, Whiteside, Grant Long, Bosh, Brian Grant, Glenn Rice. Assists: Hassan will not show up on this list. Wade, Hardaway, Dragic, Chalmers, LeBron, Bimbo Coles. Bam Adebayo, Jimmy Butler, Sherman Douglas, Eddie Jones. Steals, Wade, Chalmers, Grant Long, Rice, Kevin Edwards, who you put on the list. Hardaway, Eddie Jones, Bam, Jimmy, LeBron. Blocks, Zoe, 1625. Dwayne, 812. Hassan, 783. Then Cycli, Joel, Bam, Shaquille, Chris Bosh, PJ Brown, Udonis Haslem. Triple doubles. Jimmy with 12, LeBron with 9, Bam with 7, Dwayne with 5, Hassan with 4, Kyle Lowry with 3. Field goal percentage. Shaq 1, 59.6%, Hassan 2. Jermaine O'Neal's up there too, by the way, but that playoff series just negates everything with him. And then free throw percentage, I'll do two more here. Free throw percentage, Ray, J. Will, Tyler, Duncan, Jimmy, Kyle, Rice, Josh Richardson, Eddie Jones, Kelly Olynyk. Minutes per game, LeBron, Jamal Mashburn. That's one of the reasons I put him high on the list. Eddie, Tim Hardaway, Glenn Rice, Dwayne Wade, Chris Bosh, Jimmy Butler, Billy Owens, Caron Butler. And the final one here, final two, I'm sorry. Points per game, LeBron, Dwayne, Jimmy, Shaq, Glenn Rice, Tyler Hero, sixth. 18.1, Chris Bosh, Hardaway, Goran Dragic, Eddie Jones. Rebounds per game, number one, and it ain't close, Greg. Hassan, 11.9. Cycli, 10.4. Then Kevin Willis, Shaq, Bam, Brian Grant, Zoe, PJ, LeBron, and Bosh. Zoe's down there in part because he had the seasons as a backup. So where are you at?
I am going to put my bias aside and surprise everyone. And the guy who did it with blocks is going to make the list, Hassan Whiteside at 39. I can't ignore the stats. As much as I hated the era, as much as I couldn't stand the pouting, as much as I couldn't stand the fact that the max contract went out and then it kind of, after that first season, after he was signed, it got weird in terms of just even productivity got a little uneven at times. And they just didn't do a ton of winning with him on the court. You saw them close games where he wasn't a part of it. And then also when you just know kind of how the organization kept slamming their head up against the wall with, you know, some of having to manage him with the media or manage him just in general. But the stats are really hard to ignore when you just look at Heat history. He was a guy who in a very relatively short period of time accumulated a lot of stats. He was kind of like I remember when he first popped off as like a notable player. He had like a triple-double at Chicago. He had a great game against the Clippers on a road trip, and they were both nationally televised, if I remember correctly. And everyone was like, who is this kid? I thought the Heat had found their next guy. Obviously, you didn't know how that would all play out. But when you see the triple doubles, when you see the rebounding statistics, I just think he has to probably make the list, even though I'm kind of half grinning as I make the pick. Hassan is on the list.
I'm surprised you did it, but it is justified. I mean, the numbers are the numbers. I mean, he clears everybody in rebounds per game by 1.5. And then he's also up on the blocks list. You mentioned the game against Chicago. I remember where I was for that. I was in Cleveland, actually covering the Cavs. And the Cavs had an afternoon game that day as well, I believe. Or it was like a later afternoon game. So I'm in Quicken Loans Arena, and they had the Whiteside. It was the Whiteside game. They had the Heat game on in like the bars over there, and like people were stopping to watch it in Cleveland. And I remember having a conversation with David Griffin about him, because they had a chance to get him. Everybody had a chance to get him. Griff explained why they didn't. Okay. But at the time it was like, everybody made a mistake by not getting him, because like, you don't do what he did, like that. You don't essentially come off the street. I know he was a second round pick, but you don't come off the street and start all of a sudden, you know, grabbing 20 rebounds in a national TV game. Like, it's crazy stuff. And there was another skill set there. Like, there was, you know, some athleticism. And when there was aggression and he could put it together, he could be really dominant and dynamic. Now, the story itself is not a great story because I will put it this way. I took up for him. That's why it was kind of funny that the people around him hated me so much. I was in favor of them re-signing him. Now, I was hopeful they wouldn't have to do it at the max, but it became pretty clear that they didn't have a choice. That, you know, Portland, Dallas, these other teams wanted him for what he was contributing. And we were still in that era where it was like we hadn't gotten completely away from that kind of center. Like, it was moving away from that kind of center, but not completely. And so I not only did I was I a proponent of them re-signing him, but then I remember sitting down with him and I wrote that I don't think he'll get fat and happy with the contract. I was wrong about that. Okay. And it wasn't the conversation that I always had with people in the organization. This included Spo. Okay. Was the issue with Hassan wasn't whether or not he would work. It was whether he would work with. That was the problem. Like, he would take all the workout videos or whatever, the training room and work on his body and all this stuff. But then, do you work with the other guys in that room? Do you work with the training room? Do you work with the other guys on the court? And they just could never get that buy-in. You know, and I remember there was a post game where he hadn't gotten touches, and I forgot, did he curse under his breath? I can't remember the exact specifics, but there was, and you're like, okay, this is over. Mm-hmm. Like, Spo's just not going to deal with this group. But he was on the floor for the 30-11 run. Okay. So there was some winning. And also, when they moved him to the bench in 15-16, if you remember when Stoudemire, who was way past his prime, but when Stoudemire became a starter, Hassan was great off the bench. I mean, that was sort of the early, like, hero, does he come off the bench thing. Like, that was a debate at the time. Like, okay, you know, you let Hassan just come off ball of fury off the bench. You know, just Stoudemire hold it down with that group of starters because they had enough scoring in that starting lineup. They had Dragic, they had Dwayne, right? They had Deng. And so it was kind of like, okay, you bring Hassan off the bench, and Amari was just a placeholder. But there just was never the complete buy-in. I think he belongs somewhere on here. Now, he doesn't really fit the qualification of guy raises his hand at the arena and what kind of reception does he get. I think it's mixed.
Good point. Yeah.
I think it's mixed. And I think but I think fans liked him. They liked the personality, him talking to Fish, all the rest of this stuff. But it was just like then on the court stuff, it was the not getting back. And then not sort of understanding that certain things he was doing statistically didn't equate necessarily to winning. Like the block hunting, even some of the rebounding and that kind of stuff. And I think where fans may have an issue with this selection for us, because there are a couple guys that we're going to pass on now as we go to 40. Okay. And I'm going to make the case for some of them. And I think what we'll do is we'll make these the honorable mention group. And then I'm going to pull this. Who's our biggest miss, okay, of the 40? But I think one thing you could say is Kyle Lowry may have contributed more to winning than Whiteside did.
That's fair.
It just may be fresher. So that I think the frustration of, okay, they need to move him because he had kind of sort of tuned out and wasn't really buying in, really didn't buy in from day one. But even though he didn't buy in, he was part of finals teams and contributed during long stretches of the season. So I think we may get a little pushback on that. I think the two guys we're definitely going to get pushback on from what they contributed in a one-year span and both contributed to finals teams are PJ Tucker and Jay Crowder. And I thought that's where you were going because – If we hadn't gotten backed in a corner here with Whiteside without having put him in, and it kind of feels like you need to put those stats in, then if we're talking about contributing to winning, buying in, being part of sort of a Heat culture operation on a winning team, PJ probably should be on this list.
Although they didn't get to the finals. They were one shot away.
But I'm sorry. Jay, they got to the finals. PJ, they did. Right. Yeah. No, you're right.
But point taken, because him? He was Matt PJ, just to kind of reiterate what you're saying, PJ was maximized in such a way in Miami that it made every Heat fan say, man, we wish we had this guy 10 years or earlier. You know what I mean? Because you saw how Spo unlocked things that just the next year, he went to a completely different situation. and he didn't have any offense run through him, didn't get to do any of the creative stuff that they were really working with him in, kind of in the mid-range, mid-post. Well, and, you know, they missed the hammer screens. You know, they kind of just stuck him in the corner in Philadelphia, and that was it. And I guess maybe at the very end, because PJ was a little limited in that series, that they did kind of stick him in the corner as well. Mm. But for the majority of that season, they didn't. Jay Crowder also was such a shot in the arm, along with Andre Iguodala, but it was more Jay Crowder.
Mm. Yeah.
So, like, I understand we're leaving guys. Also, for the longtime Heat fans, the fact that the general is not going to make the list is, mm-hmm. I mean, he made an all-rookie team. I think that, you know, that's a valid call out, but, you know, we said it would get hard. Some people are not going to make the list, and we're kind of compiling our honorable mentions as we go.
Yeah, and I think two other honorable mentions are Strus and Vincent. If you are a contributor, not just a contributor, but a starter on a team that makes an unlikely finals run, that counts for something. And Max started ahead of Duncan. Who we have at 21 on the list, or 20, he's in the 20s. I know that, early 20s. So I, you know, I think I could see people getting upset. And also, we didn't end up picking either point guard, Vincent or Lowry, from a team that, that went to the finals, that lost the number 16 player on this list and still went to the finals. So I get it if there's, you know, I would put Strus ahead of Vincent. But right. I think a case could be made for either of them. I think Sherm got lost. To be honest with you, to me, it was either Sherm or Kevin Edwards.
Agreed.
Was going to make the list. So I think once you picked Kevin Edwards, then I think Sherm was off the list. I mentioned, you know, Bruce Bowen was another player. We mentioned guys who were kind of critical during those Zoe years. But his best years came afterwards. But my hardest, and then Dion Waiters, who I provided a lot of fun in the 7-11 year. He really did. Like, I mean, he was like a little mini Dwayne for a period of time. And I do think if Dion showed up at the arena, there would be applause. Yeah. I do think that people remember that favorably. But to me, it really comes down to two guys here. And I think we're just going to go with the one I said I was going to go with. And we talked about this with Sean. My two that I would consider here would actually be Josh Richardson or Keith Askins. And I for different reasons, and we're going to end up going with Keith because we said we're going to go with Keith and we need to, because I think the people forget, because when they talk about like Heat culture guys and who embodies the organization, I mean, Keith was an undrafted player. You know, he came in, what was the year? He came in, his first year was 1990, and Keith never averaged more than 6.1 points. Okay. Nope. He never averaged more than 4.3 rebounds. He never averaged more than 1.6 assists. He never averaged more than 0.7 steals. He never averaged more than 0.8 blocks. He never averaged more than 2.1 field goals in a season. He never started more than 30 games. In his first 5 years, he started 11 games total. Then in 95-96, he started 14. When the winning started, and this is the reason I'm putting him on the list. It's not because he's still in the organization as a scout and had been as an assistant. It's not because when people see Keith, they kind of see a Heat culture guy in that sense. It's because, to me, this organization made this transition when Pat came in. Okay? It's like we're serious about winning now. We're serious about winning now. Like, we've had some interesting, you know, top 10 picks, okay, whether it was a Steve Smith or a Glenn Rice or Ronnie Cicely or whatever, but we are serious about winning now, and we're going to do what it takes to win. And if that means trading Glenn Rice to get a centerpiece type player, we're going to do that, okay? If it means maybe not taking the most athletic guy because we want a guy who is who fits what we do, okay, who's gonna grind, that's the case. And to me, the ultimate validation for Keith being on this list is that his role got bigger when Pat came in.
Yeah.
And like here's a guy they inherited. He inherited, right? And he inherited, and again, he played, you know, he started six games his first four seasons. And not only did Pat identify him as a guy to keep, he identified him as a guy that he wanted to give more of a role to. And that role has now continued for a quarter century.
That's what's
or more.
If you survived the Riley, like basically he came in and excavated everything, just tore it completely down. You have that famous story about kind of not thinking there was going to be that much happening at the deadline. And they basically flipped the whole damn roster when you had plans or something to that effect.
I had a date, Greg. I had a date and I had a beeper. Because that Herald, I was in the Post. And they gave me a beeper, okay? So I had this whole steak. I think it was like Morton's in West Palm or some Palm Beach or something like that. Because I was like, and literally, like Pat promised us the day before, we will not be making a trade, okay? No trades. We don't see anything we like. And then I get beeped, and they've traded five players for five players with three different teams, and Tim Hardaway was one of those players. Keith Askins stuck around.
Yeah, that's what I mean. The fact that he made it through that era, like you said, and I think it's a good point that I hadn't even really considered, that Askins actually took on more responsibility when Riley arrived. That showed that, like, that he was, like, his stats may have all been small in stature as you just read them, but if there was such a statistic as like net heat culture rating, he would have been like easily top 10 in franchise history. So, and then there's this one other thing, and it's pre-Riley, but I just want to mention it. He was involved in the best fight in Heat history. And that was the Atlanta Hawks and the Heat fought in the 93 or the 94 playoffs. One of those. If I remember the exact year, I don't know if it makes me look younger or it makes me look older. So I'm just going to put that range out there. But it was a huge fight between Grant Long and Dwayne Farrell. But then on the opposite side of the court, Keith Askins got into a huge, like, brawl. And I cannot remember who the hell the guy was that he fought at this exact moment. But it was one of those first moments where I was like, holy crap, this is a fight like I haven't ever seen in Heat history. But Keith Askins was taking no shit, and he was following up for his guys, sticking up for his guys. So kind of that mentality of like the first practice when they come in and they say, if you haven't ever been here before, like you run over to the other guys to lift them up off the floor. Like when they fall down, you help your guys up. Like there's certain things that they put in place that seem small. You're going to tuck your jersey. And Dwayne always, you know, complained about having to have his jersey tucked in before practice and stuff like that. Keith Askins was kind of, he was cut from that cloth before Riley even got there. And so I liked the fact that he had that mean streak in him, even though he wasn't contributing a ton. It showed that they were trying to be about winning and not just be like kind of this soft, happy to be there kind of group. So Askins showed all of the culture way before the culture even was implemented. So he had to make the list.
Never played for anybody else. That's the other thing. I mean, if we're going to close this list, you know, our number one guy, we can't say that about. I know it wasn't his choice. Our number two guy, we can't say that about. Our number three guy, Jimmy, can't say that about. Number four guy, Zoe, left, came back, can't say that about. Number five guy, Bosh, no. Shaq, no. Seven, Hardaway, no. Eight, no. For everybody says that he, you know, they can't go out there and get players. They sure went out and got a lot of those. Number eight, we can say it about. Bam. Number 10 probably should have been number nine. Haslam, we can say that about. I think it's a good thing to end this with Keith. So those are our final four. Norris Cole at 37. 38. You went with, I'm looking at it right now. Vashawn Leonard, 39. Hassan Whiteside. We got different areas here again. And then number 40, Keith Askins. So we are not going to do an honorable mention episode unless Alf wants to come on for that one. We're open invitation.
Can I mention that just as long as he sticks around, Jaime Jaquez is going to skyrocket up this list. If he sticks around in Miami, I predict him being in upwards of the top 25 pretty quickly.
Agreed. And I think that, honestly, I think Josh can do some things here over his last year or two. That if that's the case, because I think a case could be made for Josh being on this list. So here are the others. People can just think about them, and maybe we'll do a poll with these, but we're not going to do an episode. Wayne Ellington, PJ Tucker, Jay Crowder, Andre Iguodala, Josh Richardson, Michael Beasley, Deion Waiters, Max Strus, Gabe Vincent, Bruce Bowen, Bimbo Coles, Sherman Douglas. Those are some of the ones that we may have missed. I mean, others, Kelly Olynyk made contributions. The Heat have had a lot of good players. But hopefully we got something for every era in here. All right, as we pivot, we're going to start talking about this team more. So make sure you check out the other episodes as we go forward. We're going to start having on guests from around the country to talk about the Heat. It seems like everybody has the Heat in the same place this year. Like, there's not a lot of disagreement. I'm looking at all the national stuff. They've got them 7 or 8 in the East. Like, no lower, no higher, dangerous, but
not looming.
Not talented enough, right? Like, that's kind of where they're at. I'm going to try to find some guest who has them different, either much lower or much higher, because I do feel like there's this consensus. And typically when there's a consensus, it's wrong. So we'll see what happens with that. All right. Thanks to Greg for doing this entire thing with me. Brady, Alex, you're up. Have a good one, everybody.
Thank you for listening to the Five on the Floor on the Five Reasons Sports Network. After all, someone needs to listen to my dad.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.